The only place that I know that prices are down and where supply and demand are out of whack are commodities. It's not always true. There have been huge bear markets in commodities throughout history, and there have been huge bull markets throughout history. As I look around the world, the only place I see cheap assets are commodities.
Hi, folks. Wealthhand founder Adam Taggart here. Thanks for joining us for part two of our interview with legendary investor and commodity guru Jim Rogers. If you haven't yet watched part one of our discussion with Jim, in which he predicts why we're headed for the biggest bear market and the most painful recession of his lifetime, head over to our channel at youtube.com/Wealthion and watch it there first. It sets the context for the investment perspective that Jim and I, as well as our partners at New Harbor Financial, share in this video. And please take just a moment to support this channel by first liking this video and then clicking on the red subscribe button below, as well as that little bell icon right next to it. Doing so will help this video reach a lot more viewers. Okay, let's get started watching part two of our interview with Jim Rogers. When you look at the opportunities in this space, I know commodities are a big focus of yours. We don't have to talk just about commodities, but what are you looking at right now with your investing lens on, given what's going on, saying, hey, you know, there may be a long-term opportunity in this space?
Well, as you look around the world, we know bonds are a bubble. Bonds have never been this expensive in the history of the world, anywhere in the world. So I'm not buying bonds unless they're special situation bonds. If you look at property in many countries, it's a bubble. Korea, New Zealand, there are bubbles in property many places in the world. Maybe there are special places, maybe in Iowa there's not a bubble, but in many places there is a bubble. Stocks, we have been having, I mean, things like Tencent and Apple, you know, these stocks go up all the time, did go up all the time. They're correcting, so bubbles were forming and may continue to form in stocks. The only place it's, I mean, Adam, silver is down over 50% from its all-time high. That's not a bubble. Sugar's down over 50% from its all-time. These are not bubble numbers. The only place that I know that prices are down and where supply and demand are out of whack are commodities. It's not always true. There have been huge bear markets in commodities throughout history, and there have been huge bull markets throughout history. As I look around the world, the only place I see cheap assets are commodities.
Okay, so I'm going to just put my finger on that word cheap for a second. People who perhaps haven't followed commodities for as long as you have might say, Jim, do you still think they're cheap given how much some of these commodities have just gone up over the past couple of weeks or months? What do you think?
Nickel is not cheap. Nickel has gone higher than anybody in the world could conceive, including me. But there are still things, silver, sugar, agriculture. Agriculture is still cheap, yes, compared to anything else. Now, if we have the Great Depression again, of course, everything will go down, including commodities. You know, in the Great Depression, oil sold at less than 1 cent. That's not a typo, 1 cent. You know, wheat, corn, everything totally collapsed. So if we have the Great Depression again, many things will go down a lot. But the cheapest asset class I know are commodities. And if there's another horrible problem, governments are going to print. And throughout history, that has eventually led to inflation and higher prices for real assets.
Okay. Couple questions coming out of that. One is, I'm going to put some words in your mouth. You correct me if they're wrong. Sounds like you're saying that on a relative basis, commodities are still the most affordable asset class out there. You would probably recommend people, if they don't own money, many of them, you know, start gaining some exposure. Would you also recommend, given the instability that we just talked about with the general financial markets and the economy, that people also keep some cash reserves? So in case we do get a situation where everything goes on sale, they're able to deploy that dry capital at better valuations in the future?
Yes, but Adam, you have, the main advice I would give people is invest only in what you yourself know a lot about. Don't listen to me or some guy on the internet. Because if I say to buy X and you buy X and then it goes up, you don't know what to do. You don't know why you bought it. If it goes down, you don't know what to do because you don't know why you bought it. You can't call me. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I got my own situation to worry about. So if you want to survive, you have to stay with what you yourself know a lot about. People say that's boring. Okay, you want to be successful? Be boring. Be boring. And you will be more successful than most people.
All right. Well, I agree with that, which is, you know, A, go with what you know, obviously, but be boring. Don't be highly speculative. Don't be trying to swing at every, you know, flash in the pan. That's an easy way to lose your money fast. And Jim, this is why I've got Mike from New Harbor coming on later on in the program, because for a lot of people, they don't have the time or the experience necessarily to feel confident enough, you know, trade, I wouldn't say trading, but investing in, you know, what they know. You know, a lot of people just feel like, I don't know if I know any sector well enough to feel comfortable deploying my own money at it. And so what I usually tell people is, if you feel that way, then work with a professional financial advisor who does this full time, who can get to know you, understand your personal financial situation, and then come up with a customized plan and then implement it for you over time. So,
well, be sure you know you have the right advisor, because many of them, when I first went to Wall Street, I assumed everybody knew what they were doing. They were older, more educated, experienced, et cetera. Then I've realized they don't know any more than I do. You know, these guys make as many mistakes as I do. So I had to learn my own way. So it's better to put your money in the bank and earn low interest than to lose 10 or 20% a year. And if you don't think so, try it. You'll find out. It's better to be boring for a while.
All right. Well, very well said. All right. Well, look, you mentioned you held up the silver. You mentioned gold earlier. You talked a lot about, you know, your expectations of, as long as governments, you know, continue to print money. And I don't think anybody thinks that's going to stop anytime soon. You are a fan of forms of money that can't be inflated away. You know, what else would you say to people right now about the precious metals? And let me preface this by saying that the day we're talking, gold hit an all-time intraday high. So, you know, the world's attention has finally come back to gold, and silver's quickly trying to play catch up here. So, you know, we may be at an inflection point here where people get so concerned about the rising inflation around the world that capital, like the capital in bonds that you were mentioning, it's nobody wants to be in going forward, may start migrating its way over into this space. So what do you think of the prospects for the precious metals from here?
Well, I own gold as well. I mean, yes, I own them. I'm not buying them now. I don't like to buy anything making all-time highs as gold is, but I will buy more gold when there's a correction again. I will buy more silver. I would buy more silver today than gold, because silver is much cheaper on a historic basis. But no, I will buy gold and silver. But what I was really saying is real assets. I mean, agriculture is a disaster. Agriculture has been a disaster for decades. You know, more people in America study public relations than study agriculture. Yeah. The average age of farmers in America is 58. In Japan, it's 66. Adam, can you drive a tractor?
Not well.
Well, I would urge you to learn how to drive a tractor, you know, and then somebody will come and marry you because you're a farmer and you're a rich farmer. You'll have a lot of assets, and everybody will think, gosh, he's a very smart. They'll all whisper when you come in the room, they'll say, that guy's a farmer. That guy's a farmer. He's rich. Listen, you can buy indexes, and the world knows that index investing outperforms most professionals and most amateurs year after. I don't like saying it, but it happens to be true. So buy an index. That's what I'm doing. I'm lazy.
All right. So you're buying commodity indices, you're buying agriculture indices, et cetera.
Yes.
Okay. Well, folks, yeah, if it's good enough for Jim Rogers, then I think it's good enough for
most of us that want exposure to the space. Do not do something because some guy you saw on the internet is doing it.
Yeah, no, but I do want to underscore something here, though, because especially around agricultural commodities, Jim, you know, I've had other experts on who've echoed similar sentiments, and I share them myself. And a lot of people say, well, I can't really invest in there because I'm not going to become a farmer tomorrow. I'm not going to buy a farm, and I just don't have the capacity to run it, right? Well, the answer is we don't have to, right? There are other ways to invest, get exposure to these commodities, and some of these ETFs are a much more easy way for someone to do it versus actually becoming a farmer tomorrow.
Well, yes, I'm not going to become a farmer, but I know that agriculture is going to go up a lot. So I own RJA. It's an index on the New York Stock Exchange. It's very simple. And other indices on the New York Stock Exchange. But I could be wrong, Adam. I made many mistakes in my life. You want to hear about my first wife? Oh my God, what a mistake that was. What a horrible mistake that was. I made plenty of mistakes in my life.
All right. Well, you know, this is obvious to everybody, but what you're offering here isn't personalized financial advice, and everybody should do their own homework and whatnot. But I do appreciate you giving people a ticker to go explore there, Jim. And also, just in full disclosure to your point about me being a farmer, I don't have a tractor. That said, I do have an orchard. I do have raised beds. I've had chickens and pigs and lambs and bees out there. Inspired in no small part by Jim, reading your books and having been in discussion with you over the years. So even though I'm a financial commentator on the internet by day, I do have a little bit of resilience, you know, baked into my life on the back end for the reasons that you're talking about here.
Hooray. As I say, I'm not going to become a farmer. I would probably fail at it, but I do own RJA because it's a simple way for me to invest in agriculture.
All right. Well, let me ask the question to you. What gives you hope for the future? I know you're a father. I know you've got two daughters. You know, we've talked a lot about the reasons to be worried about tomorrow, but what gives you hope at this stage?
Well, it's a good time to be an old American. It's not a good time to be a young American. You know, I'm not going to pay off these debts. My kids, though, are being burdened with a huge problem in the future of America. In the 1920s, Britain was the richest, most powerful country in the world. There was no number two. 50 years later, only 50 years later, Britain was bankrupt. IMF literally had to fly into London and bail them out. So that doesn't give me hope for the future, but I do know the world has always adapted. Somebody is always rising and somebody is always falling. What you and I have to do, and what Mike and I have to do, is figure out who is going to rise. I've told you farmers are going to rise, but somebody is going to be declining too. I would say it's better to be a farmer in Iowa than a broker on Wall Street. In 2023. But there are other countries in the world. I mean, Russia is a disaster right now. Russia's hated right now. The markets are all closed. It's so hated. Well, eventually it's going to open up again, and maybe Russia would be a place to look for assets. Venezuela's hated right now. I have learned in my life that if you can invest in places that are hated, eventually, 5 years later, 10 years later, you look like a genius. People say, how did you know? I don't know. I just read history. And that I know that if you find places that are hopeless disasters, you might be successful. It doesn't always work, Adam. If you'd invested in Cuba in 1960, you would still
be waiting for that to pay off.
You would still be waiting. Your children would still be waiting. So you have to do research and homework, but disaster is a good place to invest.
All right. Well, with that, Jim, let me thank you for taking the time, especially from half a world away, to come share your wisdom with us. Is there any place that folks can go to follow you in the time between now and your next interview on Wealthion?
Well, I look forward to my next interview on Wealthion. You know, I hope, because it's always fun with you, Adam, whether your butler's fun or not, I don't know, but you're always fun. I don't have anything to sell. No, I have a website, but it's just about my schedule. I don't have anything to sell, I'm afraid.
Right. Well, you're in the news a lot, so should people just periodically Google Jim Rogers and you know, hear what you're saying to other news outlets?
But Adam, when I was young, a lot of people gave me a hand. They would talk to me. They would tell me how about this and that. Even the ones who were wrong would help me. And I feel like that I should do the same now. That if you call me and say you want to talk to me, first of all, you're a smart guy, but secondly, even the ones who are not smart, I think I should, because I should give back, to use that term. People helped me all my life, and why not? Why not? I should try to help people as well.
All right, Jim. Well, that is extremely noble, and it's extremely appreciated that you take the time to come on this channel. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you soon, and maybe sometime meeting you on a motorcycle going up Route 1 here in Northern California.
Well, I've had some great experiences motorcycling in Northern California, in lots of places, so maybe we will meet again, and we can drink California wine.
Sounds great, Jim. Take care, buddy.
California wine. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Adam. Thank you.
All right. Well, now's the time in the program where we bring in one of Wealthion's endorsed financial advisors to do a little bit of responding to what Jim just said, but to talk about the incredibly volatile market action right now. I'm joined by Mike Preston from New Harbor Financial. Mike, what did you think about this last interview with Jim here?
Hey, Adam, I love that interview. That was a lot of fun. And Jim Rogers is a legend on Wall Street. And it just loved the stories of him. He wrote a book on it, basically, of just riding his motorcycle across the country after retiring, I think, maybe at 40 years old, if I remember correctly.
I think it was like 37 or 39. Yeah. It was pre-40. Just to make us all really jealous.
Amazing. And just a wealth of knowledge and a lot of stories, fun stories. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, Jim happens to agree with a lot of things that we've been seeing that we think are, you know, important facets of the market today. We've been saying for a long time to reduce exposure to traditional stocks. This market is hyper overvalued. Yes, it got there because of maniac money printing by central banks over the last, I guess, 12 to 13 years now. And it has lasted thus far longer than we could have imagined. We'll be the first to admit that. It's really driven a lot of humility into us. It's gone on many years more than we would have thought. But, you know, we've been saying to reduce exposure to stocks, but instead focus on raising cash. And the things that you do own should be real things, you know, like real estate, gold and silver, commodities, or companies that produce commodities. And that's been a relatively lonely place sometimes throughout the last few years, particularly mining stocks. But all of a sudden, it's like the world just woke up and things have changed. And yes, we've got this situation in Ukraine and Russia, but it was really before that inflation started to be a concern last year. You know, after all of the money printing in 2020 with the pandemic, 2021 was a giant blow off top at all things speculative, probably the most extreme examples of speculation we've ever seen, from meme stocks to SPACs or special purpose access vehicles to NFTs, digital tokens, everything. And, you know, here in 2022, we're really starting to see inflation take off and commodities take off. I mean, oil has been going up $10 a day, you know, roughly the last few days. I mean, heating oil has doubled in the last few months. Jim was talking about nickel. Literally everything has been taken off, and it's a little bit of a speculative parabola right now. But the thing about these types of vertical moves is you just really can't tell when they're going to end. So it's best not to try to get in their way or short them. It's best to wait for a pullback if you're looking to increase your exposure. But we've been long saying that folks should have exposure to this area, particularly the precious metals. And we can talk more detail about that. But I think these moves have a lot more to go.
Yeah, well, that's actually what I wanted to dig into here, which is, Jim is basically saying, he sees continued demand for commodities going forward here. We talked about basically all the other asset classes he thinks aren't good to invest in right now for a variety of reasons, most of them having to do with valuation. But I just want to talk for a second about bonds, but it relates to the other asset classes as well, where I just recorded an interview that played yesterday with Rick Rule. And, in it, we talked briefly about how the bond market, which is, you know, the largest financial asset market out there, you are right now mathematically guaranteed a negative return in bonds. And so you have just tons and tons of institutional investors who are scratching their heads saying, what am I going to do with all my capital that's currently in bonds? And all of a sudden, the precious metals, you know, space is looking extremely attractive here, right? Because it offers inflation protection. It's a safe haven, and it's appreciating right now. So it's, I think, got to be getting pretty compelling for these managers to say, you know what, I'm going to take a little bit of this, what I got in bonds, and start putting it over into that space. And if they do, you know, the precious metal space is so tiny compared to the bond market that prices are just going to have to erupt again, mathematically, if that indeed happens. So, you know, there's a lot of good reason to believe that, you know, what we're seeing right now is really a true repricing of the precious metals. It's not just a short-term, you know, panic caused because Russia's got some big gold mines and we might not get their gold for a little while. I think this is bigger than that. What do you think?
Absolutely, Adam. I think so too. I mean, we've been talking about this triangle consolidation on gold for many, many weeks, many months, if not longer. You know, gold had a previous swing high in August of 2020 above $2,000 an ounce. And just today, you had just mentioned that it printed a new high, I guess, in the spot market. The futures market got within $10 or so of an all-time high. Essentially, we're at an all-time high. And I wouldn't be surprised to see us break through there and to continue higher. Like I said, one thing you really can't tell about a breakaway market, a parabola, so to speak, particularly when it breaks out of a consolidation pattern, as long as this one has been a year and a half, it can move faster and further than you would expect. So it's best just to stand back and watch and get out of the way. You know, to me, it looks like gold, based on the consolidation pattern, could move towards 2,500 pretty quickly. I tend to think that it was going to take the better part of a year, but who knows? I mean, it could be much, much quicker than that.
We're up at 2076 today, which was like,
I know.
It's like a $75 an ounce move in the first few hours of today's trading. Came back down a little bit, but it shows you how quickly you can move in a day when the momentum's there, right?
It's fast. And like Jim just said, you know, he said that bonds are in a bubble. We tend to agree. Bonds are in a bubble. Yields are near zero. Real yields are less than zero. When real yields are negative, like they are now, and there's a little bit of fear in the world, gold and silver does very well. And property's in a bubble. Real estate's in a bubble. It's hard not to imagine that that's not going to correct, particularly as interest rates go up. And stocks are in a bubble. We think stocks are definitely in a bubble. What's probably not in a bubble are real things like commodities that come out of the ground or grow on the ground, you know, things that are natural resources. There's one chart out there that shows the valuation of commodities as a basket relative to the S&P 500 or financial assets. We're at 10-year lows, and we've started to hook up off those 10-year lows, but this trend could and probably will last a lot longer. So commodities probably are beginning a multi-year outperformance run. So I'm not saying people should run right out and you know, jump into them without doing some research or consulting a financial advisor first. But the commodity space and all real assets are probably going to produce great opportunities, particularly precious metals and agriculture, like Jim talked about. It's not as much in a bubble as some of the other broad commodity indexes, which are more like 60% oil.
Yeah. Okay, great. And, you know, for folks, if you want to dig into a deeper discussion of exactly what Mike just talked about there, watch the interview that I just recorded, like I said, yesterday with Rick Rule. I'll put up a link to it right here. But we go pretty deep into all the reasons why commodities have likely a very strong future ahead of them. And we go kind of commodity sector by commodity sector through it, energy, metals, agriculture, et cetera. All right, Mike. Well, the other thing I really wanted to talk about was, you know, on this topic of exploding commodity prices is something that Jim mentioned, which is when prices move really far, really fast, right? Eventually, you generally get to the point where the price gets ahead of the true valuation, and then you have a correction, some sort of correction back down, right? And we can all debate whether all the gains would be, you know, corrected away. And if you think this is just all speculation that's driving the commodities, personally, I think, yes, we'll hit some zenith and we'll come back down. I think for a lot of these things, particularly precious metals, I think we're going to have a higher baseline going forward than we did before, but who knows, time will tell. But it seems quite probable that at some point, you know, if they keep running at this daily appreciation level, all these different commodities that we're watching shoot the moon right now, you know, there's going to be a period where who knows what the trigger is going to be. There's a ceasefire announced, or they just get too high, right? We'll see that sharp and sudden, you know, correction. You guys at New Harbor, one of your key specialties is basically putting downside protection against your key positions here. So is there a way, as these prices are rising like this, to be raising your hedges so that even if there's a correction, you can still preserve a fair amount of the gains?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all hedges have costs, Adam, so you've got to be careful. And I think we've got, you know, skill and experience in how to apply them. For instance, we've long been bullish on precious metal miners, and we just reestablished a hedge on our mining position. Now, we think that miners can go much higher and probably will go much higher. But we use the recent strength to reestablish a collar position on them. And what we do is we sell call options above the current price, not on the whole position in this case, just on roughly half of it. And we use that money to buy put options below. And so it's a collar with a ceiling and a floor. And you can move that up and down over time, hopefully up. And you've got to be careful not to overcommit to selling calls, because you don't want to put a ceiling on a position like mining shares. It's not terrible if your price goes above the ceiling. It just means that you're going to give up a little bit of upside, but it's still a happy story because you made a gain on the position. But especially with mining shares, we're careful about not totally capping that upside. So if you look at an example that I often use is GDX. It's an ETF that holds the major mining shares. You know, it printed $40 a share today. It closed at around 38. That's up from about 29, maybe a month ago. Gold trading at almost 2100 this morning. Looks like it can go to 2500. If we get to 2500 on gold, that'll probably mean 50 or 55 on GDX. And so we would hope to move that collar up over time, so that eventually when that market exhausts itself, you can take yourself out of it when the retracement happens and goes through that put strike or that floor that I just described. But having said all of that, the vertical move in commodities doesn't really look like an exhaustion blow off. I mean, in a market that's been going many, many years, like for instance, the S&P 500 for over 10 years, you have the final move that's vertical. It often does mark the end of a cycle, and you may have many years of bear market. In contrast, if you have a vertical move that comes out of a long base, or a move like what just happened with gold that came out of a year and a half triangle consolidation, that is often called a breakaway gap, or, you know, it's the start of a trend versus the end. So you have to look at where you are in the cycle. And to us, commodities look to be more in the beginning of the cycle than the end.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's very true. Now, that said, it does depend on the commodity you're looking at. If you look at silver, and I'll put up, if you look at nickel, and I'll put up a chart of it here because Jim mentioned it a couple of times today. For folks that aren't familiar with what went on with nickel was up until a couple of days ago, nickel had been trading kind of where it was, you know, for most of the past bunch of years, somewhere between $20,000 to $25,000 a ton. But it shot up over the course of like 2 or 3 days to over $100,000 a ton. And part of that was because you had large players who had big shorts against nickel. And as nickel started taking off, they got stuck in a short squeeze that just sent the price up to 100,000, and then the actual exchanges stepped in and they stopped trading. So That's probably an example of a excessive blow up top that is going to correct pretty violently, pretty quickly. So I just bring that out as an example, Mike, that you do actually have to kind of look at the individual case of each commodity that's been moving quickly recently. But absolutely, I agree with you. I think most of them have been in compressed patterns for a long time. And what we're seeing here is more breakout. Now, that being said, there's for absolutely certain, you know, concerns about the special concerns that are unique to what's going on right now, given the war in the Ukraine. And I'm sure that there's some speculators in there that are stirring things up even further here. So there is froth that is likely to come out of these at some point in time. But as I said earlier, my personal opinion, folks don't have to share it, is that we're probably, you know, if there is a correction, we'll be at a higher baseline than we were before all of this, and still probably in a bullish uptrend going forward. Mm-hmm. All right. Just real quick on the precious metals, Mike, I've had a ton of people asking me, where can I buy gold and silver? These are people that are maybe a little bit later to the game, haven't built their foundational positions in them yet. So I'm just going to take a quick second and answer that question for folks. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy gold and silver and actually have it, you know, for your safekeeping in your own hands, someplace you store locally, a good provider is goldsilver.com. That's Mike Maloney's organization. And if you want to buy precious metals and have it stored for you somewhere secure, you don't want the risk of having it on your person or in your home, then the Hard Assets Alliance is a great solution for that. I've worked with both companies for years and years, and full disclosure, I actually share investors. There's some of the same investors in those companies who are in Wealthion as well. But the long and short of that is that I know the people personally who are running these companies and have known them for years, and can vouch, you know, from my experience with them, is only knowing them to be good, trustworthy people. If you want to learn more about those, go to wealthion.com/goldsilver or wealthion.com/HAA and check those out. All right, Mike, well, look, as we wrap things up here, you know, this has been a highly uncertain time for everybody, but certainly for regular investors with capital at risk in the market. I know we just did a webinar for your New Harbor clients over this past weekend. And it could really see how much people valued being able to get real-time answers to their questions from you and John. What advice do you have for people watching right now who, you know, aren't existing clients, who weren't in that webinar, based upon the questions, concerns that you're hearing from your existing clients?
Yeah, thanks for hosting that, Adam. We really enjoyed that. We did that last Saturday, and we had several hundred people sign up, and we were just floored with the interest and the participation. We continue to get good comments on it. And people had so many questions. I mean, there's a lot of questions about inflation. There's a lot of questions about gold, how to buy it, how to own it. There was questions about the market, about our own positioning and our reaction to it. I've just got a couple thoughts that I guess I want to share. The S&P 500 is down only about 13% or so from its all-time high, which is barely even in correction mode. You know, and if you look at the Wilshire 5000, that topped back in November, so. And that's the broadest index really out there, the total stock market, or one of them. Well, the market probably topped 5 months ago. Maybe it turns higher and makes a new high, particularly if the Russia-Ukraine situation is tempered. But I wouldn't want to bet on it. I mean, this market has been going on fumes for a long time. 13% off the high. And Jim Rogers, we happen to agree with what he said. We're probably going to see the biggest bear market in our lifetime. So, you know, people wanted to know how to protect themselves. We talked a little bit about hedging, how to use options, and we answered some direct questions later about how to use options to hedge and to call our positions. We personally don't think that sitting in cash or U.S. dollars, at least in the near term, is too much of a risk in the 0 to 2 year time frame. We had a lot of questions about inflation. Do I have to worry about my money disappearing or melting away? You know, Jim talked about the U.S. dollar losing world's reserve currency status. It probably will happen, but it won't happen overnight. So in the, you know, the 0, 1, 2 year time frame, it's probably okay to raise dollars and to wait for better opportunity to invest. We talked a lot about that. And almost certainly that's coming. We haven't even had the first real wave down in this bear market yet. You know, we're right around, what, 4,200 on the S&P. We're looking to 38 or 3,900 for the first stop. And that, and we haven't even seen a 90% down day, a day in which 90% of the stocks on the exchange declined on the day. That's coming, I think, and maybe very soon. So it's, we want to warn people not to buy the dip too soon. I can't believe the bullishness really that we're seeing. There's a lot of, and the market declines and then it will rally almost 1,000 points in a day. The NASDAQ had a huge reversal a week ago. You're seeing big institutional buying in large speculator positions at all-time records, all while the market is declining. Basically, the message is that everyone's buying the dip. So it's kind of a perfect storm because we talked to a lot of people and a lot of people don't think the market can decline, that this is the Titanic market. And those are all things that came up during this seminar. And there's many more. I should probably stop talking because I could go on for a long time. But
all right, well,
caution is the message.
Okay. And I think your term Titanic market may actually prove out to be true in the end, which is the unsinkable ship that actually did sink, right? So
exactly.
A lot of those people who just can't imagine it really correcting here, to your point, may find themselves surprised. Well, all right. Thanks for going through all that, Mike. And it underscored, I'm just going to reiterate what I do in all these videos, which is this is such a complicated, treacherous time for investors right now that unless you are highly experienced at navigating times like these yourself as an investor and a captain of your own wealth, highly recommend that you work under the guidance of a professional financial advisor who does understand the macro risks that I talked about with Jim and does know how to apply the techniques for risk management that Mike just talked about here. If you have a good one, great, stick with them. If you don't, consider talking to Wealthy Unsendorsed Financial Advisor. Mike and his firm are one of them. If you want to set up a free no strings attached, no commitment at all to work with them. Consultation. It's just a public service they offer. Stick around to the end of this video. It's coming up in just a few seconds. We tell you how to easily do that. All right. Well, as we wrap things up here, folks, if you want to see more venerated guests like Jim Rogers on this program, please hit the like button and then click the subscribe button below. Mike, thanks so much for joining me for another week. It is crazy times in this market. We will be tracking them together very closely. But no matter what happens, I'll be here with you next week to report on it. Everybody else, thanks so much for watching.
Thanks so much. It was a great session. I really enjoyed it. Thanks, Adam.
If you'd like to schedule a consultation with one of the financial advisors at New Harbor Financial, simply go to wealthion.com. These consultations are completely free and there are no strings attached. The good folks at New Harbor will simply answer any questions you have about your investment goals or your portfolio and give you their best advice given their latest market outlook. They're willing to do this because they care about protecting people's wealth and because Wealthion has connected them with so many thoughtful investors just like you over the past decade. We started doing this because so many people have approached us in frustration, looking for a solution because they're feeling out of alignment or downright ridiculed by the standard financial advisors who have been managing their money. You know the type. The kind that just pushes all of your money into the market, scoffs at the idea of owning gold, and when you bring up concerns about the market's sky-high valuations, they say, "Don't worry, the market will always take care of you." For many of the reasons discussed in today's video, we think this is one of the most challenging and treacherous times in history for investing. We strongly believe that today's investors are best served working in partnership with a conscientious professional financial advisor who understands the risks in play. Now, we're agnostic which professional advisor you work with, as long as they're good. If you're already working with one, that's fantastic. Stick with them. But if you don't, or are having trouble finding one you respect or trust, then consider talking to John and Mike and the team at New Harbor. Now, for those about to ask, yes, there's a business relationship between Wealthion and New Harbor, which we've put in place to make sure everything is handled according to SEC regulations. All the details on this are clearly provided on the Wealthion.com website. Also, it's important to note that New Harbor is able to work with U.S. citizens, green card holders, and those with existing assets in the USA. But for regulatory reasons, they aren't able to take on non-U.S. clients. All right, with all that said, if you'd like some insight and guidance on how to protect your wealth during this unprecedented time in the markets, go to wealthion.com to schedule your free consultation with the good folks at New Harbor. Thanks for watching.